Well, again, 65 years, National Association of Farm Broadcasting, and we are again honored to have along with us the United States Agriculture Secretary, most of us familiar with him. I'll just open it with his comments, the Honorable U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Thank you, Mr.
Thanks.
Secretary.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to all. I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I want to begin by simply thanking you for what you all do every day. It's important for people across this country to understand the struggles, the hopes, the dreams, the frustrations of those who live on the farm and those who live in rural communities. And one way that they learn about those hopes, frustrations, and dreams and challenges is through the work that you all do. So I want to thank you for what you do. I do want to acknowledge Larry Quinn. Larry's in the back, as probably he's been here for how many years in a row have you been here, Larry? Yeah, 15 or more. Well, 42 years of service to the federal government, 35 years of great service to USDA. We are certainly pleased and proud to see him again and thank him for his service to the country and his service to USDA. You know, you all can come down to his studio at the USDA. It's named after Larry. He pointed out just a few minutes ago it's nice to have something named after you while you're still alive so you can see it. I also want to acknowledge the importance of today, which is Veterans Day. It is particularly poignant to talk about Veterans Day at a rural broadcasters meeting. We find that a substantial percentage of those who serve in uniform, a significant percentage of those who serve in uniform come from rural communities. While we represent roughly 20% of America's population, 45% of those who are serving in the military come from rural communities across the country. So our hats off to those who have served, and particularly, I might add, to those who served in Vietnam. I think far too often we talk about World War I and World War II in Korea. We obviously recognize the extraordinary sacrifice that people are making in Afghanistan and Iraq today. But sometimes I think we as a nation have forgotten those who served during Vietnam. And I make it a point to make sure that we thank those who served in Vietnam. They may not have been properly thanked, as we are currently thanking those who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want to just take a minute of your time to take you on a real quick tour around USDA. We like to say that we're an everyday, every way USDA, and I think it's important for people to realize all the work that's going on. I'll do this as quickly as I can. There'll be a couple of announcements in these comments. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about the Farm Service Agency, FSA. They've had a very busy year. They've seen a 95% increase in direct loan activity, and we are working very hard with our commercial lenders to try to encourage a freeing up of credit. We know that it's tight out there. I've talked to Secretary Geithner. I've talked to the President about this, and we are working very hard at FSA to make sure that we have the credit available for farmers and ranchers as they begin to plan for next year. And we also have created a directive to the FSA offices to make sure that they work with farmers who are struggling during difficult times to determine whether or not loans can be restructured in some way, shape, or form to help folks. This is the same group that's also working on establishing and setting up our disaster programs. We have made good progress on that, and we believe by the end of this year our SURE program will be up and running and we'll be able to take applications and perhaps make payment on the 2008 losses and begin calculating 2009 losses. Obviously, we've been very active in assisting the dairy industry. I know that there are many who are interested in what happens now and what happens next. Congress allocated $350 million of additional support to the industry, $60 million of which is through commodity purchases. We intend to make decisions about that very, very soon. The other $290 million is to be distributed to producers around the country. And we are working on a system and process through the rulemaking efforts to make sure that that money gets to producers as quickly as it possibly can and regionally in a very fair and safe and appropriate way. It is our goal that checks will be received by producers by the holidays. And we're working feverishly to get that done because we know that resource is important and necessary for dairy operations. We've been very active in the Foreign Ag Service as well, very active in trade. I have met with ministers from Asian countries, European countries, and South American countries, and Central American countries. We've had some progress and success in opening up markets that were closed as a result of H1N1. We're working with the Chinese to make good on the promise that they gave to me just a week or so ago on my trip to China to reopen their pork market and to do so consistent with science and a rules-based system. We're thankful that we finally made some progress on the hormone-free beef issue with the EU, that Canada has worked with us on creating organic standards that will be interchangeable so that we can have good trade in those areas. We're working with the Koreans and opening up new biotech crops in soy and corn, all of which important for American trade opportunities. This is one area in the economy, when we talk about trade deficits, is one area where there's actually a trade surplus in agriculture, and it's important for us to continue working hard to make sure that that surplus continues. For that reason, we're announcing today that 70 trade organizations around the world will receive $234 million of assistance from USDA to promote market access. This will be through our market access program and through our foreign market development program. These resources will be distributed to these organizations, and they will, of course, continue to do the fine work that they have done in promoting American products, American agriculture overseas. I saw firsthand in the Philippines recently and in China, and in my visit to Kenya, the work of our trade organizations, and they do a significant work. It's a good partnership. So hopefully this $234 million in grants will assist them in continuing their work. We also understand and appreciate, despite the best efforts of trade and despite the best efforts in credit, that it's necessary and important for us to continue to look at ways in which we can bolster markets that are sagging. For that reason, we announced yesterday, and I want to publicly announce again today, our intention to use our Section 32 authority to make additional commodity purchases. We will purchase between several buys $50 million of pork, which together with a $30 million buy in September equals $80 million in the last 2 months. Little over $12 million of tart cherries, $1.8 million of dried plums, and $18.6 million of apples. We are somewhat limited in terms of Section 32 authority this year. Congress has basically directed a significant amount of that Section 32 flexibility and authority. So we only have about $250, $260 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, available for the entire year. So we obviously have to be careful because we don't know what's going to happen in 2010. And we want to be able to respond to any emergencies that might crop up. So this is a good, healthy buy. And gets, I think, some support and help to those in need. I want to say briefly a word or two about rural development. We're looking forward in the very near future to making the first set of announcements relative to broadband expansion as a result of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We've been working very hard at USDA to obligate the $28 billion that was given to the USDA overall. Within the broadband area, it's about $2.5 billion, which will leverage about $9 billion of activity. With loan guarantees and grants. We expect to have a distribution of some $4 billion in this set of announcements coming up shortly, and then the balance will be in 2010, hopefully in the late spring or early summer time period. This broadband initiative, together with our efforts to help local production be linked to local consumers under Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food, climate change opportunities, the Tennessee study that's going to be discussed here, another indication of the opportunities that that offset can create for folks in the countryside, and the energy titles of the Farm Bill that we are in the process of implementing creates a new opportunity for a rural renaissance and a revival of the economy in rural America. And it is now a partnership between those who work the land and those who live in the towns, creating jobs to help those who work the land stay on the land, and it's a good partnership. But we need strong rural communities. And in order to have that, we need jobs. And in order to have jobs, we need new economic activity in rural areas. We think that there are four new excellent opportunities to create employment. In the FNS world, we're obviously working on nutrition, more fruits and vegetables in our assistance programs, pleased with the new WIC program and package that was issued and started in October. Looking forward to a discussion with Congress about the Reauthorization Act of the Child Nutrition Bill, an extraordinary opportunity for us to respond to the recent Institute of Medicine study of the nutritional value of our school lunch and school breakfast program. An indication perhaps a bit more sodium and sugar than necessary, and certainly a lot of empty calories. We need to address that given the obesity issue that we're facing with our young people. We intend to aggressively be engaged in that discussion along with the First Lady, who's made this one of her top priorities. In FSIS, obviously, we're focused on food safety, better training, better communication, more preventative testing. In MRP, we look forward to, in the next 30 days, to be issuing a set of new rules and regulations in a wide array of areas. I've been working very hard there in the research area. We just launched the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, and we're focusing our research on a couple of key priority areas, not the least of which is energy, nutrition, and how we can work more effectively in global food security issues. Finally, on the Forest Service side, we've got a new strategic vision for the utilization of our forests focused on water and climate change adaptation and better management and an all-lands approach, integrating what we do in our forests with what we're doing with our conservation programs in NRCS, with new budgeting rules that provide resources to properly maintain our forests and at the same time be able to fight fires that occur all too frequently. And in the context of all of this, we're in the process of reorganizing the administration of the department and working on trying to resolve civil rights cases. So it's been a very busy time at USDA, but it's an extraordinary department, a lot of hardworking people, and we're going to continue to work hard to try to create economic opportunity on the farm and in communities around the farm.